Thank you for that song, and thank you for that kind introduction, Pastor Dan. The ushers have an envelope for every adult. While they're passing that out, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. It's an honor and a privilege to speak once again at Cross Point to bring an update about things that are going on in your government. And I know that Pastor Arrowood is listening, so Pastor Arrowood, we will include you in the count if you'll take an offering down there in Florida. It's only fair, right? We'll include him in the count if he takes an offering. I'm sure he probably already did that this morning. But it is an honor and a privilege to be here, as I mentioned. I'm grateful for the prayers and the support of Pastor Arrowood, the pastoral staff, and everybody in the church for the work and ministry of Advance America. And I appreciate the continued counsel and encouragement for me personally from Pastor Arrowood and Pastor Defoe as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It goes along with the song service tonight and with the admonition from Pastor Dan as well about what we need to be doing here in 2017. With regard to the institution of government, God ordained three institutions, the home, church, and government. And there's a role for Christians in each of them. And this admonition here is applicable to all of them, including government. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, saved people, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, in the home, church, and government, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak tonight about what is going on in our government and to encourage everyone that in this institution that you set up, that there's a role for each of us, and that just as in the past we've made a difference, people here at Cross Point, before that Eagledale, that we need to continue to be engaged to make a difference for our families, our churches, and our freedoms. Bless this time tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The envelope that you were just given, open it up, please. There are four items in there. I'm going to talk about two of them right away. The first one is a card that you can keep that has all the contact information for Advance America on it. The second item that you'll find there is a glove compartment accident guide. As you know, Jim Waters, one of the attorneys in the law office, has been working with me with Advance America almost since the beginning, and his specialty is handling personal injury cases. And so please keep this in your vehicle. If we can ever be of assistance to you or anyone in your family with regard to any legal need, then please get a hold of Brother Jim or myself. I want to first of all thank you for making a difference in the election that happened last November. With your help and prayers, we were able to reach hundreds of thousands of Hoosiers with the truth about the candidates and about the importance of the election. We did this through our printed voter guides and our online voter guides. We did it through emails, through videos that churches showed, as well as individuals sharing those on social media. We did that through mailings, through our website, through radio spots, and speaking engagements. The voter guides made a difference because people needed to know the truth about where the candidates stand. We've received different endorsements of the voter guides from individuals that were elected last November. From one of them, I just want to read his quote here from Congressman Luke Messer, who was reelected in the 6th Congressional District here in the state of Indiana. Here's his quote. My victory on November 8, 2016, to the U.S. Congress happened because the voters knew where I stood on issues of importance to all Hoosiers. Advance America's voter guides were invaluable in helping get the truth to the voters in my congressional district. But as Pastor Dan said, the battle's not over. It isn't over regardless of what happens in any election here in the state of Indiana and in our nation. The threats, and this is what I want to stress to you tonight, the threats and the dangers to your children, to your grandchildren, to your family, to this church, and to our freedoms still exist. They exist right here in the state of Indiana because those who have opposed us in the past, and we've been doing this now over 36 years, those who oppose the things that you believe are right and righteous, the things that you believe are right for your family, for your church, and for your freedoms. There are people out there that have been opposing us in the past, and they continue to oppose us. But this shouldn't be a surprise to you because of that verse that we read out of 1 Corinthians. Why do you think the Word of God says this again? Therefore, my beloved brethren, saved people, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That admonition is there, written by the Apostle Paul, to remind us that the battle will continue until Jesus comes back. Regardless of what happens in an election, regardless of what happens in our society, the battles that we are engaged in our homes, as Pastor Caleb preached about this morning, in the church, as well as in government, will continue until the Lord comes back or we pass away and go home to be with the Savior. The 2017 Indiana General Assembly is now underway. The 100 representatives and the 50 senators have returned to the State House. This is our 37th legislative session. Now, for those of you that don't know, and many of you have been with us since we were at Eagledale, now at Cross Point, you know about the Ministry of Advanced America. But again, just a quick recap about what we are, what we do, and how we do it. We were founded in 1980, 36 plus years ago, with just 10 people. Today, since that humble beginning with just 10 people, we've grown to become Indiana's largest pro-family and pro-church organization. It's your eyes and ears in government. The opposition knows you can't keep up to date with what's going on down there. If you listen to the local news, read the local newspaper, try to keep up on things on Facebook and on emails and things, you wouldn't know 99% of the things that are going on down at the State House that you need to know about because they impact your family, your church, and your freedoms. And that's where we come in. We're your eyes and ears in state government. The issues that we're going to talk about tonight are not Republican or Democrat. They're right versus wrong. We monitor and impact the General Assembly by reviewing the more than 1,000 bills this year that are going to be introduced. I testify before committees. We send out legislative alerts and updates. We just put out our latest video that went out last week around the state of Indiana. We work with representatives and senators down there at the General Assembly. Now, the other item that you have in your envelope there is a legislative update. Take that real quickly. I want to just highlight just a handful of things on this. And you can go to our website often because the legislative update will be revised. It'll be on the website. We're continuing to put out emails. We're continuing to put out videos that can be shared on social media so that you can share those with individuals that you know would care about these issues just like you do. The first issue there is protecting religious freedom. Senate Bill 487, authored by Senator Tim Lannan, the subject, here's what it will do, and I'm just going to read it here with you real quickly. Senate Bill 487 would add sexual orientation and gender identity to the Indiana Civil Rights Law, like we've had proposed in the past here in the state of Indiana. Senate Bill 487 would give the government, something they should never have, the authority to punish a business owner like a florist, a baker, or a photographer who refuses to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony because they believe that marriage is only to be between one man and one woman. Religious freedom, watch this, should be protected and not attacked in the state of Indiana. If the government can punish a business owner for their beliefs, their religious beliefs, then the next step would be to punish a pastor and a church. This bill has been assigned to the Judiciary Committee. The action. If you support protecting religious freedom in Indiana, call or email your state senator with the following message. Please vote no on Senate Bill 487 to protect religious freedom in Indiana. There's the two phone numbers, the toll-free number and the local phone number. You say, but I'm not sure who my state senator is. Then go to our website, and up in the top right-hand corner, it says, who are my elected officials? It'll pull up your congressman, your state rep, and your state senator, tell you who they are, and then you can email them or phone them. Still, as in the past, 10 to 15 emails and phone calls is an avalanche on most issues because most people don't know what's going on down there, who to get a hold of, or they've bought the lie that they can't make a difference. That's just one of the issues now at the Indiana General Assembly. Look at the next one. I've been telling people here at Cross Point for years and years and years, they're going to continue to try to tax churches. Guess what? They're back again. But watch the language that they use to try to accomplish this. Protecting churches from being taxed. Senate Bill 467, Senator Jim Buck. Senate Bill 467 would permit a local unit of government to tax churches by giving them the authority to impose a public safety user fee. Churches should not be taxed in Indiana. Advance America will continue to lead the effort to protect churches from being taxed. Top of the next column. Taxing churches would harm churches and hurt their ability to carry out their ministry in their community. This means families would be harmed as well. Whether the legislation deals with user fees, like this bill, to be assessed against churches, or they call it a payment in lieu of taxes, or churches are assessed property taxes directly, the result is the same. Churches would be taxed. The impact of this bill on Cross Point Baptist Church could be several $1,000 each and every year. And once the government starts taxing churches, you know what? It'd be tough to ever stop them from taxing churches because they'll get used to spending the money. The status, it was assigned to the Committee on Local Government. Here's the action. If you want to protect churches from being taxed, call or email your state senator with the following message. Simple message. Please vote no on Senate Bill 467 to protect churches from being taxed. And there's the phone numbers again. A pro-life bill. Abortion was legalized January 22, 1973. Since that time, maybe as many as 60 million babies, 60 million babies have been killed here in the United States. It's a tragedy. It's wrong. You need to constantly be praying as you pray for your governmental officials. Pray that God will give us a Supreme Court that will overturn the abortion decision. Now, Senate Bill 118, Senator Dennis Cruz would require an abortion provider to provide an ultrasound at least 48 hours before an abortion could be performed. You know why an ultrasound is important? Because it will tell that lady there that that's not just a blob of tissue. It's a baby. And the people that support abortion don't want women to know that. It would also require her to view the ultrasound and listen to the baby's heartbeat if it's audible. You know what if this were to happen, you know what happened with most abortions in Indiana? They probably wouldn't take place because the lady would say, wait a minute, that's a baby there. It's got a heartbeat. That's a baby. And she would hopefully then run out of the abortion clinic. Action. If you support helping to protect unborn children, which you do, call or email your state senator with the following message. Please vote yes. Senate Bill 118 to protect unborn, help protect unborn children. Turn your sheet over real quickly. I'm just going to highlight the rest of these here. Protecting churches from government control is an ongoing battle down there where the government wants to control what happens inside the church. The government has no business telling a church how to operate its ministries, who they can hire, or what they teach here. Parental choice and education. We're able to reach out and help other families come to Cross Point Christian Academy because of the vouchers and the scholarships law that passed in 2011 that we helped to draft. There's constantly steps that are being taken to try to erode that. We don't need to erode that. We need to enhance that so that more parents have the opportunity to choose a Christian education for their children. Protecting Christian and home schools. Just this past week, I was sitting with a state representative who has a bill that would harm Cross Point Christian Academy, trying to get him to stop that bill, and I trust we'll be able to do that. There's an ongoing battle to protect the freedom that Christian schools have. We're in a war. The opposition hasn't gone away. The targets of the opposition haven't changed. They remain the children, Christian businesses, and churches and pastors. I'll prove that to you. The tactics and the strategies of those who oppose us, they haven't changed. Just because the election took place, their tactics and strategies haven't changed. First of all, with regard to the children. With regard to the children, their goal remains to take away their innocence, to attack their minds and their hearts, and that's for the ones that they haven't already been able to abort here in the state of Indiana. But for those that are beginning in elementary school, the tactics and the strategies haven't changed. They want to capture their hearts and minds and destroy their innocence. They want to teach them that immorality is okay. They want to teach them that whatever they want to do is okay. They want to teach them that anybody that disagrees with the fact that boys will always be boys and girls will always be girls, that anybody that really believes that, and anybody that really believes that you should wait until you're married, a man to a woman to a man, and then keep yourself pure part of that time, and then keep yourself just for your husband or your wife. People that believe that, they want to teach them that those people that believe those old-fashioned things, that they're bigoted, homophobes, intolerant, wrong and hateful. And that would include the child's parents, pastor, Sunday school teacher, or Bible. Their tactics and their strategies haven't changed. They are attacking the hearts and minds of the children in the public schools. What they're doing, they're just reinforcing what unfortunately some of those children see on television and on the internet and in movies. We've got to protect the children. Tactic number two is to intimidate and silence Christian businesses. Christian businesses that believe that marriage ought to only be between one man and one woman. Christian businesses that don't want to participate in a same-sex marriage ceremony because it violates their religious beliefs. And as you saw in that legislative update, if they can do that here in the state of Indiana, and they've tried in the past and they're trying again this year, then the next step is to go after churches and pastors. This could be a Christian florist, baker, or photographer. And the fines on that Christian business owner could be thousands of dollars each and every day. Tactic number one, to go after the children. Tactic number two, to go after Christian businesses. Tactic number three is to go after churches, Bible-believing churches and pastors. Because you see, what they've got to try to do, they've got to try to reach the children with lies about what is right and wrong. And so they've got to silence the church. They've got to intimidate and silence Bible-believing churches that believe that what the Bible says about moral issues is actually true. They've got to get them to be silent and not teach that to the children. Just like that wonderful message, Pastor Caleb, that you had today. Thank you for preaching that message, what pastor's doing, what the other pastoral staff will do. They've got to silence this church from preaching the truth. How will they do that? They'll pass hate crime laws. They'll pass hate crime laws and threaten pastors with jail and with fines. They'll also threaten to take away their tax-exempt status. If this church lost its tax-exempt status, the taxes this church would pay on this property could amount to $40,000 or $50,000 each and every year. It would devastate our missions program. It would devastate the Christian school and the outreach ministries of this church. But you see, the other side, as you've seen in these bills just this year, their intent is to silence and punish pastors who refuse to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony. Or like we've already seen in two other states, they pass rules and regulations or a law that says, you invite in the public, don't you? Well, of course we invite in the public. We want people to get saved. We want them to know about Jesus Christ. Well, if you invite in the public, then you are now a place of public accommodation. And since you are a place of public accommodation, that means that if a man walks through your doors, but today he believes he's a woman, then he has the right to be able to walk into the women's restroom at your church. No, he doesn't. But that's the next step they're trying to take with churches. Punish the pastor, punish the church, loss of their tax exempt status, pass hate crime laws, threaten a pastor with jail or with fines. Say that since you're open to the public, then your restrooms are open to whatever the person says in their mind they believe that they are that day. What's the result? I'll tell you what would happen to this church. It's the same thing that would have happened when Pastor Defoe was pastor, when his dad was pastor, and the same thing that would happen with Pastor Arrowood. If they threaten this church and say, unless you capitulate and you stop preaching the truth of the Bible as you perceive it to be, we will tax you, we will fine you, we will put you in jail, we will shut you down. Pastor Arrowood will now have a jail ministry from the inside. Why do we wait to see that happen? Why don't we challenge them at the State House and say, no, you're not going to do that. We're not going to stand idly by and have you do that and harm the ministry of this local church. The opposition out there, it's well-funded. It's organized. It's dedicated. And they don't give up. And they have millions and millions of dollars. What's the key? Most of the people in Indiana today, the things that you've heard tonight, they're not pro-abortion through the entire 9 months. Most of them are not pro-abortion at all. Do they want to see Christian schools continue to be open so that parents can choose where to educate their children? Sure. Do they want boys and girls restrooms in the public schools? No. Or in their locker rooms. Do they want to punish churches by regulating what goes on inside the church and having the church be controlled by the government to tell them what they teach and what they'll do and how they'll handle their ministry? And do they want the church tax? No, most people don't believe that. What was the key in the past election here in the state of Indiana? It's the same key that we've had since we began in 1980. We've got to get the truth to the people of the state of Indiana. It's the same thing with salvation. How does anybody get saved? I had the privilege this past Friday to travel to my hometown and sit down with my dad had four brothers and sisters. All of them are gone except one aunt who is now 88 years old. She's in a rehab facility because she just got out of a hospital. And I asked her, I said, to my aunt, I said, are you sure if you died you'd go to heaven? And she said, I hope so. I said, well, you know what? You can know for sure if you died you're going to heaven. Can I tell you that? Now she's 88. She said, yes, you can. And so while she was laying there in that bed, I took her hand, had my Bible with me, and I just told her the plan of salvation. Now, this is the aunt that I've looked up to and known all these years, but I said, you know, the Bible says we've all sinned. Yes, she agreed with that. We all deserve to die and go to hell because we can't get into heaven with our sin. She agreed with that. And she agreed that Jesus suffered and bled and died on a cross. She'd known that before. But I said, but you know, if you never personally accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you'll die and go to hell. I said, would you like to pray and trust the Lord and ask Him to save you? And she said, yes, I would. And so last Friday, I had the privilege of praying with my aunt, and she got saved. Amen. Then her daughter came in. My aunt's two sons have died. Two of her grandkids have died. She has only one daughter left. And I said, well, you know what, Les, you can ask your daughter. She goes, oh, she's saved. I know she is. She goes to church. And so she said to her daughter, she goes, are you saved? And she goes, I hope so. So I had the privilege of walking my cousin through the plan of salvation too, and she as well trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Amen. Was it me that did that? No. I just presented the truth of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit took the truth of the gospel and pricked their heart and drew them to Jesus Christ. It's the same thing in government. In government. People around here, one, they're hungry for the truth of salvation, so please share that with everybody you have a chance to. What's passing out a tract, talking to them, inviting them to come to church. And in government, we've got to get the truth to the people that care about these things that are going on, then letting them know what they can do to make a difference. So that's where we are with the legislature right now. Here's our role, to help get the truth to the people of the state of Indiana. Review those bills. Work with representatives and senators to stop the dangerous bills, pass the good bills. Send out legislative alerts and updates to let people know what's going on. Produce videos for churches and people to share on social media. Send out mailings around the state. Speak to Hoosiers in churches and other settings, but we've got to have your help. Yes, we've got a staff down there. That staff works very, very hard to keep up with all these things, but we need your help to be able to get the truth to the people of the state of Indiana. And to be your eyes and ears to help protect your children, your grandchildren, this church, and our freedoms. So here's what you can do. Number one, you can pray. The Bible commands us to pray for those in authority. And please pray for Advance America. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, woman, teenager, boy, or girl availeth much. Go to our website often to get updates as well, to find out what's going on, and you should be getting our emails, and we don't charge for any of this. We send this out to churches and families around the state so they will know the truth. And then you can join the Proud Hoosier Partnership. The other item that you've got, please take that real quickly. The other item that you've got in your envelope is the Proud Hoosier Partnership. Many of you have joined this. You see up there at the top, this is Advance America's Proud Hoosier Partnership. It's Indiana Model for the Nation. When you open it up, people that join the Proud Hoosier Partnership, and this is the ninth year for this. We have a brand new book that I've updated with the names, phone numbers, emails for the House and Senate, lots of new legislators down there, how a bill becomes a law, how to effectively communicate with your representative senator, how to make a difference in your government. You get that book when you join, then you get either a patriotic book or a patriotic DVD. And when you do that, when you join, you get that, and your contribution, view it as an investment in freedom, in the battle for freedom. And again, many of you have already joined, so we'd ask you to please renew your membership. When you turn The form this way, you see there's information to fill out. To join the Proud Hoosier Partnership, it's really reasonable. It's available for everybody to be able to join. It's either $8 a month for 12 months, it's an annual program, or it's $96 one time. You can join this by way of a credit card, a check, or cash, and Vicki and I'll be back there at the table. If you didn't bring a credit card or something and you want to join, you can mail it in the envelope, or you can go online and be able to join the Proud Hoosier Partnership. But if you can join tonight, then you get the books with you tonight. This is over and above the tithe that you give to this local church. We'd encourage everybody to begin praying more than ever before for our national, state, local elected officials, for Advance America, for the General Assembly. Go to our website often to get updates. Contact your senator or representative on issues that come up that you need to contact them about that we'll let you know about. Then you can join the Proud Hoosier Partnership. And for the offering, just to let you know so you can pray for us, during the time the General Assembly is in session, our expenses during this legislative session will exceed $125,000. And so as you pray for us, please pray that the Lord will raise up those funds and the money that you give in the offering, and by joining the Proud Hoosier Partnership, helps us meet that fundraising goal. Remember this: the battle to protect your children, your grandchildren, your church, and freedoms hasn't ended. Your opponents are working tirelessly. They're dedicated, well-funded, and they oppose virtually everything that you believe and this church believes. It's true, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. It is true also that each generation must re-win its liberty. It is true that freedom isn't free. It is true that all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And President Ronald Reagan, before he was elected president, was right when he said, "You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We will preserve for the children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we will sentence them to take the first step into 1,000 years of darkness. If we fail, at least let our children and our children's children say of us, we justified our brief moment here. We did all that could be done." The Bible is true when it says, "And I sought for men among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Beginning tonight, can I ask you something? Would you begin tonight? Many of you have been involved in this church and making this church move forward for the cause of Christ, been involved with your family, raising your family using biblical principles, and you've been involved helping us with Advance America. But the attacks against our families, our children, and grandchildren are becoming more intense than we've ever seen in the history of our nation. Now is not the time to let down your guard. Not at home, not in this church, not in the community, not at work, and not in the government. "And I sought for a man," a lady, a teenager, a boy, a girl. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Maybe tonight there's a whole lot of people here that will say, "I'll do that. I will stand with my prayers, with my actions, to stand in the gap at this time in 2017 to make a difference in the government that God ordained." Father in heaven,